If y'all are in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, I'm going to read these verses again just to get some context. It says in verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him." All right, so you got a gathering together he's talking about. But it's amazing how in verse 1, he swaps it. He does that in the Psalms a lot too. Like the coming of the Lord that he's talking about actually comes after the gathering together, but he's addressing that in this text here because he said we're going to be gathered together, so he swaps them around. It's amazing how he does that, and they're divided by that comma there. Verse 2, "That ye be not soon shaken in mind." Now that's what I want to talk about, being, you know, things that trouble us, being not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. See, they were writing letters and saying they missed the rapture and they would have to go through the tribulation. It says, "As that the day of Christ is at hand." Now, let me pray for the guidance again. Father, we just want to thank you again for your many blessings. We just ask you to bless your word, Lord, and give me wisdom and unction to be able to teach and preach. And I just pray you'd help our hearts to be receptive, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So there are things that trouble you. And number one, I want to talk about these spirits again. We spoke about them last week, but I want to go over another thing. Now, first of all, he said, "Nor by spirit." That's the inner voice. He said, "Nor by word." That's an outer voice. And he said, "Nor by letter." That's a written voice. So there's these different things that trouble you, and you'll notice here these spirits. So this is this inner voice. I want to show you something else about these spirits. Look at Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16, and there's a lot of things, you know, you got to remember. Spirits, there is a spiritual realm. And the Bible says in Ephesians 6, it's amazing. In Ephesians 6, we won't go there, but he tells you you're fighting against four things, principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. Four things. You know how many times he tells you to stand in Ephesians 6, 11 through 13, I believe it is. He tells you to stand four times. He knows you're going to stand against all four of those things. And it's amazing how he does that. Now, in Acts 16, look at verse 16. "And it came to pass as we went to prayer." Now, notice that the trouble comes when you get into prayer. Folks, that's why that is your, I'm not going to say it's more important than Bible reading, but I'm going to say this right here. The devil is not in the most intimidated by a Christian who reads but does not pray. Right. You have to pray. You have to pray together, pray with your family. And I'll tell you what, I believe, you know, me and Carla believe in praying together. And, you know, that old saying, you know, a couple that prays together stays together. Man, I'll tell you what, you find out what's on the heart when you pray together with somebody. That's why it's important for us believers to all pray together. Watch when the trouble comes, though. It says, "A certain damsel," there's your woman. Now, you got to watch out for these women preachers. You know, you got these Joyce Myers and Beth Moores and all these things today, and these people just flocking after them. Well, you know what? If she's going to be a true bishop, you know what the Bible says over in Timothy? A bishop must be a husband of one wife.
Yeah.
You know what? If she's going to be a true bishop, she's got to be a lesbian then. She's going to go against, if she's going to go with the Bible. Well, that goes against the Bible. It shows you right there. Well, they say, well, these new Bibles say deaconess. Well, go right over there and see what in Timothy and see what Timothy says about being a bishop. There's no female there in that thing. And you'll notice here this damsel possessed with the spirit of divination. Now, who did the devil come to first? He didn't come to Adam. He came to Eve. It said the woman was in the transgression. Why? Men fall in love with what they see and women fall in love with what they hear. Mm-hmm. And here's Eve coming in there, and Eve is hearing this angel who's the devil transformed himself into an angel of light. And I guarantee you, just handsome as he could be, comes up there and starts talking to her. Well, these wonderful, smooth words, you know. "You know, Eve, you can have
this, anything in this garden? Can you not have all these trees? You know, you can hear that old weak little coward voice, man. And so you see this thing of divination. Now, you know what's amazing? I got out my Webster's Dictionary. And divination, you know, that's divine, like Saint John the Divine. You know what that is? Like God-like. Why? God has to give you the thing to be able to divine. And so Saint John is able to divine these things that come. Remember, he gets the revelation. All right, well, the Webster Dictionary says that divine is God-like. You know what the devil does to Eve? He comes over to that woman, see this damsel. He comes over there and says, you can be as gods. See, divine. Knowing. See, that's what's that spirit of divination? That's a spirit of a serpent. That's the devil right there. Isn't that amazing? She's got that, and you know what you'll find out? These people who want to have all this knowledge of all this Greek and Hebrew and all this stuff and try to correct your Bible with it, you know what you'll find out? They got that spirit of divination. Why? Because look, you go in here and you find somebody thinking they know more than God and they're able to change the Bible. Y'all, that is a spirit of divination. They think they know more than God. They think they know more than what the Bible says. It's amazing. All right. Divination. Metas. Which brought her masters. Look at this gain. Some think gain is godliness. See? Much gain by soothsaying. All right. Guess who Paul addresses in verse 18? I'll tell you what, I'll say this. I'm skipping over the best part. I'm trying to tell you about these spirits that trouble you. I get ahead of myself. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Guess what? Devil-possessed people can have a right message, but a wrong spirit.
Yeah.
You know what? The devil gives you 75% truth, so you'll swallow the 25% lie.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's why you have a lot of these. What, they're good teachers? Okay, well, guess what they're going to do? They're going to give you enough to where you swallow the bait. That amazes me why you have to watch out who you learn from, because if you don't learn from somebody who's got the right heart motive on that thing and they're wanting to have knowledge, you know what you find out? The guys who are trying to boast of their knowledge and not trying to boast on the book are the ones who will lead you the furthest astray. Because you know what? They're deep down, what they're doing is, it's the equivalent of a bodybuilder. You know these bodybuilders, they get up there and, you know, like this, you know. And what happens is, the scholar, he's getting up there and he's taking his brain out and shit. Look at that. You ever seen such a fine specimen of a brain? Look at that brain, brother. Look how smart. I'm able to correct the Bible. Well, what's happening is, they don't realize they're trying to show off their intellect, and what the Bible says to any man think he standeth, take heed lest he fall. What happens, literally, they're falling. And what happens is, the gravity takes effect and you just go right down with them. And what happens is, you'll see this thing here. This lady had the wrong spirit, but she had a right message for a while. So you know what you'll find out there is, as far as the Bible goes, Paul's rebuking her because God's truths are more important than any error which may accompany God's spoken or written truths. He's saying, look, I don't care what you're saying. What you're saying is wrong because the spirit you're going about is saying. That's why Jesus warned them over there. They said, well, can we call down fire from heaven? He said, you got the wrong spirit. You know what? That's why if we go out preaching or do anything else, don't do it with the wrong spirit. That's why a lot of these people, well, I'm a Christian, I'll just go out here. You better make sure you're prayed up. Because if we're not prayed up before we go out and witness and speak and preach and things, we can actually have the wrong spirit come off of that thing and actually do more damage than we do good. That's why everything has to be done through. See, here they go down here to pray, and then here comes this damsel here, and you know what happened? If you're in prayer, you're going to be in a Bible. And that's what you see. A lot of people, you know why people don't pray, most of them? It's because their inward spirit knows there's going to be a battle along with that thing. Why? You got the picture over there in Exodus, why Moses, Aaron, and Hur's had to hold up his praying, his hands, lift up holy hands in prayer. It's a picture you'll get in a battle. And that your spirit don't want to have nothing to do with it. But watch this, though. It says in verse 18, and this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit. See, hold on a minute. I thought he's talking to a person. He's talking to what's on the inside controlling her. You got to remember, whenever things that trouble you, you know, that's what we're talking about. He says some things, spirit. You got to realize if somebody's being mean to you, they're being controlled by another spirit. Why? Because that's a work of the flesh. Mm-hmm. Whenever they come against you, there are things that will trouble you. And you know what? Those spirits have to use people. So guess what they do? They have to influence those people to do what they want to do. So you have to remember, a lot of times when you come into prayer, you're fighting against the wrong thing. Why? Because you're saying, that person. Mm-hmm. No. The spirit controlling that person is the one they're yielding to that spirit. You need to change your prayer and say, Lord, I know I'm in a spiritual battle there. Help that person be able to yield to you, Lord. And why? Because especially Christians, man. You know, people say, well, a Christian can't be devil possessed. They can be devil oppressed. Well, you got to watch that. Why? Acts chapter number 5, he says, why has Satan filled thine heart? See, he can't get your soul, but you know what he can do? He can get all the members of your body. And you can literally be yielded and controlled by the devil. Now, guess what I do? If I can get inside my pickup, and if I've got the keys to that pickup, I turn that thing on, guess what? I've literally possessed that pickup. Now, I'm not the motor of that truck, but you know what? I can take that pickup and I can turn the wheel and go this way. I can turn the wheel and go that way. I've possessed that truck. Now, you know what happens? Things can get inside your heart. Why? Because your heart's deceitful anyway. It just assumes go with the flesh. So, you know what happens? You got a flesh man, you got two men in there now. You got an inner man, as far as a spiritual man goes, that's saved, but you've got that flesh man that's still in there trying to control you. And he would love to get the upper hand. That's why you have to feed that spiritual man and get him stronger than the flesh man. You know what? I liken it to this. I see this thing. You have to have balance. It's like you're sitting on a basketball or a beach ball in a swimming pool. All you're doing right now until you get your new body is keeping that ball down. It's wanting to rise all the time. And guess what? If you don't balance right and let the Lord balance you out, guess what you do? You move too far to the left or too far to the right, and that thing will come right out from under you and come right up, and there the flesh will be. And you know what you'll have? You'll find out that you need to pray while these spirits are constantly trying to get control of you. It's they want the throne of your heart. Now, verse 19, watch why they do this thing. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains... Uh-oh. There's Mark chapter 5 again. You know what happens? The Lord Jesus heals this demon of Gadara and the Gadarenes, and the spirits go out in the hogs and they run down in there and they say, man, this guy's done caused us much trouble today. Why? Well, see, the cost. Well, you know what? If you're going to see the Lord work, it's going to cost you something. See, they hated their gains being gone. You know what? You'll find that this supposing gain is gone. If you're going to serve God, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you strength. It's going to cost you effort. It's going to cost you friends. It's going to cost you family. You're going to have foes. And it's going to get into your finances. Why? Everything. Why? Because you will literally get involved in the Lord. And you and him get to walking along. When you get friends with the Lord, the world didn't like the Lord, and the world's not going to like you.
That's right.
And man, that thing will come and see their gains. It was gone. Look, their gain, it was gone. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. Now, you know what? The flesh should do this. You get out here and you get on the street and you get to preaching, and these folks are about to go in a bar or something, their flesh is, I'm about to go in here and get some food, you know. And then you're preaching out here, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. They come, what are you talking about? What's happening? The flesh is mad. Man, that flesh is saying, hey, I'm about to go in here and have a great big old time. Now I got to deal with this conviction. And see, they don't like it. The gains, it wants the gain. Those things will trouble you. And guess what? The people who are yielded, those spirits, are going to trouble you. So false spirits trouble you. Now, guess what? The Lord gives you a focused spirit. We talked about that. He gives you the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Guess what? We got the power of the gospel. The Bible talks about the power of the gospel in Romans 1. The power of the Word of God, he talks about. You got the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to be able to resist sin. You got the power. But you know what it does? It gives you a sound mind. You know what scares people? A sound mind.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Why, that they weren't scared of that demon over there in Mark chapter 5, that man that was possessed with those devils. He was cutting himself. He was in chains. He was in the tombs. He was staying up late at night. He was up in the mountains. He probably looked scary, man. And he's running around here with no clothes on. All right, well, people's all right as long as he's doing that. But guess what? Guess whenever he got his right mind, he was clothed and sit. Guess what? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So they were afraid. And you know what? People are going to be afraid of you. Why? Because you're going to look at them. They're going to think you're reading their thoughts. All you're doing is just making eye contact. Some people, man, what's going on? I'm just talking to you. What's going on? Well, you make out like you know something about me. I don't know anything about you. I don't even know you. And what happens is, y'all, you're having a pure conscience. You know what Paul said? Serve the Lord with a pure conscience. And you know what happened? That conscience is pure. You just want to see somebody do it. And guess what happened? Their conscience is not pure, so they think you're thinking of something about them. And they think, oh, yeah, they know something. I don't know what they know. They know something. Well, see, that thing, it troubles them. But the Lord gives you a focused spirit while you're able to look circumspect. So you're looking around. And you're, you know, I've told y'all what Brother Lance was talking to us about. He said that these predators, their eyes are straight on like this, but like sheep, we're prey. So you know what? We have to look circumspect. Their eyes are on the side of their head. So see, they have to look circumspect. They have to look around. You know what we're supposed to do? We got a lion that's out to get us. And you know what we have to do? We have to be looking around. That's why he says look circumspect. Why? But we're like sheep. And you know what happened? If you don't look around and you don't make sure you're looking, you will get in a big mess. You know who the Lord used when he called Gideon? He said, go down there and take the rest of them down to the stream and see which ones do like this and see which one get down on their knees and just slurp the water without looking around. You know what those ones were doing? That picture helps me somewhat. They were down there. They got down in the creek like this and they were looking. And they got that water like this. And they would bring, look, their God was not their belly. They said, I know I'm bad thirsty, but I'm not so thirsty. I'm fixing to take my eyes off the situation. We're in battle around here. Mm-hmm. Don't get so focused on the things that are going on in the world to take your eyes off of your enemy. Wow, if he can get your eyes off of him, guess what happens there? Well, man, he'll come up there and cut you. Well, see, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus, and keeping our eyes on Jesus keeps our focus right so we're able to see things that we're supposed to see. I can't see the devil with my eyes, but guess what? If I keep my eyes focused on Jesus, he can show me where to go and where not to go. He can say, look, you can't see in this spiritual realm. I want you to walk right here. Don't go there. You can't see that, but there's a mess over there for you. There's a bunch of false spirits waiting to get you. Don't go there. I can't tell where to go and what decision and what to make, but the Lord can, so he can keep us from all those principalities and powers. That way he gives us a focused spirit. Now, the inner voice, those spirits trouble you, scorners trouble you. We went over the press last week. And the press really just messes you up. You know, I think about over there in the Bible where it talks about how men's hearts failing them for fear. Mm-hmm. You know what? But you get fear-mongered all the time. You go to the insurance agent and they tell you, you better get this coverage. You better get that coverage. You better get this other coverage. Come on, this happened. This happened. Before long, you got all this stuff and you can't even make your payments because you done got so scared all this stuff's going to happen, man. You got insurance on everything you think of. What happens is they try to use fear to get you, but then whenever you say, you know what? You better believe on the Lord Jesus Christ or you'll go to hell, bust hell wide open, take the devil 6 months to patch the hole. And they look at you and they go, well, you used some fear. Well, you've been using fear in here since I got here. And see, that thing amazes me how they do. All right, so what happens is you got an inner voice, you got an outer voice, and that press is part of it. Now, guess what? You got Pharisees. Not only the press, you got Pharisees. Look, hold your place there. Look at Matthew chapter number 16 with me. I want to show you this doctrine about this thing, about this these Pharisees. You know what you have today? You have a whole bunch of Pharisees in the world today. You know what we have to constantly guard against? Becoming a Pharisee ourselves.
That's right.
Because the more you get in this Bible, and you know, if the devil can't get you to get bad in one area, he'll try to get you bad in another. So you know what he do? If he gets you kind of, you get the Bible gets you cleaned up and everything, the devil say, why aren't you good?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't you? Well, the Bible says there's none good. You know, you get cleaned up and you get your shirt and tie on, everything, get up ready to preach. Why, my, don't you know your Bible well? Mm-hmm. No, I really don't. See, what happens is the devil tries to creep those little thoughts in it. Why? Because if he can't make you bad, he'll try to make you too good.
Mm-hmm.
See, the Pharisees were too good. In their own eyes, I say that. Y'all know what I mean when I say too good. Mm-hmm. Why? You can get so good you can't help nobody. You can get to the point where I'm not going to get my shoes dirty. I'm not going to get my hands dirty. Mm-hmm. Man, the Lord come down there and the Lord walked around in the sand, man. That's so humbling that the Lord, who the clouds basically are the dust of His feet. He's so pure and so clean. His only dust could be the clouds. All right, here He comes and He tramples around on the shores of Galilee to save lost souls, and He comes down and gets His feet dirty. Man, that'd tear you up, man, you get to think about that. You think about the Lord Jesus Christ getting His feet dirty. Man, that is amazing, man. That'll make you cry. Why? The Lord comes down here and He don't have to do nothing, man, if He don't want to. And He comes down here and He says, oh, y'all get your feet. Y'all, boy, that'd tear you up, man. Peter says, man, not this. He's washed my whole body. And the Lord says, no, I've got to do this. Man, that's amazing, man. That's the Lord there. Now, what you'll see is you got to guard against becoming like these Pharisees. Now, you look at Matthew chapter number 16. I want to show you this doctrine here, and we've got to watch this and not become like it. Matthew 16, verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, remember? The leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, they say, well, what are you talking about here? What was it with the leaven of the Pharisees? Well, they thought it was something against them and everything, but look at verse 12. Then understood they how that He bade them not beware of the leaven of bread. See, they a lot of times they get to thinking, guilty conscience, you know. But the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, what's their doctrine? Now, turn over to Matthew 23 with me. The Lord, you imagine the love of the Lord. He loved us enough to give us a book where we can see things in here and find out what's true and what's not. And not only did He die for you, gives you the Holy Spirit, gives you a book to go by, and then lets you fellowship with Him. Man, that's a loving Lord right there. And I thank the Lord I found His love when I got in Him. All right, Matthew 23, verse 3. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. So guess what? Their language is false. You won't see what their doctrine is. Their language is false. They say and do not. You know what? If we're gonna be a Pharisee, or stay away from being a Pharisee, I should have said. You have to. If you tell somebody to do something, don't tell them to do something you wouldn't do. You know, we'll find out here again, they do these like things, but see, they say and do not. And you know what we have to do? We have to practice what we preach. And we have to, the Lord, He both began to do and teach. The Lord walked the walk first. And see, then He's, well, them, they didn't care anything about walking the walk. You know what? We can tell we're becoming a Pharisee if we get to where we tell other folks to, well, you need to do this, you need to do this, and you need, you know what everybody else is supposed to do, but you're not going to do anything. That's a Pharisee. Now look at this, verse 4. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. See, there's that thing. Not only is their language is false, but their labor is forced. They're forcing you to do things. You know what? The Bible says the Holy Spirit leads you. He leads you in all righteousness. He don't force you to do things. Why? He wants you to do it with the right motive. You know what they do? They try to force you. Well, if you're not like me, you're not spiritual, you know. If you don't do it like we do, you're not spiritual. If we ever get to where we say, well, I know they're not right, and I know they're not right, and I know they're not, and everybody's not right, but we're the only ones right and everybody else is wrong. Guess what? There's a Pharisee, but we're trying to force them to conform to us. You know what you want people to conform to? Conform to the Lord and His Word. And then, hey, let the Lord deal with the hearts. That's a Pharisee. They're labor. They're trying to force things on you. Jesus came to set the captives free. Anything, listen, this thing here will help you as much as anything. Anything that puts a chain on you is wrong. It's wrong. That thing, the Lord's not putting, He came to set the captives free. He's not putting a chain on you. All right. And look at verse 5. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. See there? They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms and at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. So verse 5, you'll see this. Pharisees are some people like this who try to make you think they're spiritual by what they're wearing. Mm-hmm. See, they're doing all this stuff right here. You know what you'll find out if you ever say, well, I'm wearing this type of clothing and I'm more spiritual than because of what I'm wearing. Yeah. That's a Pharisee. That's exactly. They're making it. Look at me of how I'm dressed. Thank the Lord I've got a suit and tie. I do thank the Lord. But just because I got a suit and tie does not make me more spiritual than somebody who comes in here in overalls. That is a Pharisee. And you know what? There's a lot of people like that. There's a lot of people who say, oh, you don't have it like we do. Well, look, some people can't buy a suit and tie. You ever thought about that? Some people literally do not have that type. And what happens is, they don't know the whole story. You may, that person may want a suit and tie, and they just can't buy it. Well, a Pharisee will come in and say, mm-hmm. And what happens is, I wonder how many people have been run off from churches and stuff like that. Why? Because they come in just the best they had. And then the Pharisees come in and say, oh, well, I don't know what you're doing here, sir or ma'am. And then they go, that's a Pharisee. That's dangerous. See, the Pharisee, that Phariseeism is dangerous. Look at this. Look at verse 6. So their looks are a facade. It's just an outward form. All right, verse 6. And love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. They have a love for fame.
Mm-hmm.
They love it. I know people who love to have titles. They got 6 or 7 titles that they got. Well, I'm the instead of the assistant to the manager, you know. Well, I'm the assistant, you know, or I'm the youth leader on this, and I'm the head. They want all these titles, man. That's like your Roman Catholicism. They instead of being a bishop, you know, they're an archbishop. See. Well, so in other words, you're above Jesus Christ then? Why? Because Jesus isn't even called the archbishop. He's called a bishop in the Bible. Well, guess what? They're the archbishop. They're above him. The Bible warns us about those flattering titles. You know, you have a lot of these people and they'll say, well, you know, I need to be reverend, you know. No, holy and reverend is his name. That's the Lord's title. They love the fame. They love being able to sit up here and say, well, we're running 450 in our Sunday school today, and they won't tell everybody about it. Well, if you've got anything going on, it's the Lord. The Lord's the one doing it, y'all.
That's right.
Anytime you can tell you're getting a Pharisee spirit about you, if whenever you're doing something, it starts coming back on you. You did this, and you did that, and you did the other thing. I was listening to a sermon one time. I cut the thing off. This guy's supposed to be a real good preacher, and I was listening to him. He's done pretty good for 10, 15 minutes. And then all of a sudden, he said this. He said, yeah, we was having a revival meeting. He said, I stood outside and held up my hands in the air and held back the rain from my friend while he preached. And I thought, held back the rain. What in the world? This man has lost his mind. And I remember I literally heard that, and I cut the thing off from a popular preacher. And it just amazes me why. And I know what he meant. I know what he meant. Probably meant, well, the Lord done it. But you have to be real, real careful about that stuff. Taking glory. You know what? There was a man in Acts chapter number 12 who tried to take the glory of the Lord. And they said, well, he spake as a God, and he took that glory, and worms ate him up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? A lot of people get literally eat up from the inside. Pride. They just get that pride, and they get swelled up with that stuff, and it eats them up. They can't see it, but everybody else can see it.
Mm-hmm.
That's pride, man. That's Phariseeism. They love fame. And anytime we get to where we love that fame, that attention, everything else, you know, one application of that proverb, you can tell a man by his praise, you know, that proverb can go two different ways. You know, one, I believe it's we ought to have good praise for the Lord, but another one is this. If you get to where you love people to praise you, that's Phariseeism. Phariseeism love that praise. That's fame. Now, let me show you another about the Phariseeism. See, these are things that will trouble you. That's an outer voice. They'll trouble you. And we don't need to be in that number. Luke 7. Look at Luke 7 here. See how we're doing. My. Time flies, man. Time flies. All right, here we go. All right, here. I know we got Lord's Supper, but I'm having a good time sharing these with you. Look at Luke chapter number 7. And just show you these Pharisees. These things will trouble you, but you know, we don't have to be troubled by these by word. We've got God's word, and we can go in here and see what to do about it, see what to look for and stay away from it, and warn people about it. Now Luke 7, look at verse number 37. It says, I'm going to start in verse 36 context. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went in unto the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. Man, what a blessing. And look at verse 38. And stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head. Man, look at this lady. And kissed his feet and anointed them with the anointment. Now watch this Pharisee here. Verse 39. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it. See, Jesus is in his house, you know. You know, you got, well, Jesus is in our church, you know. And this woman comes in here, and she comes in here with just best she can, you know. And she's trying to just worship Jesus. She may raise her hand, say amen or something like that. Watch what he says. He spake within himself. He didn't have enough courage to say it outside. You know, he's within himself. Saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Now, you know how they do? Yeah, for she is a sinner. You know, well, he's just like that man over in Luke 18. You know, the publican comes up, but the Pharisee says within himself, I thank God I'm not like other men are. And see, he's up there within himself. Well, God's not there. Jesus could read his heart, but Jesus wasn't with that thing. He's within himself, see? Jesus is not in that thought. All right, so guess what? Pharisees are corrupt inwardly. See, they're inwardly within himself, he says. Not only they're corrupt inwardly, but they have corrupt insight. See, she is a sinner. All right, well, of course we're all sinners, but guess what? He had corrupt insight in that he couldn't figure out the fact that, of course, the lady was a sinner, but look what she was trying to do for the Lord. He didn't even give him a kiss or anything. She's down here wiping his feet with her hair. That man didn't have enough insight about him to find out there was a woman who was really seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. See, what happened is Phariseeism will ruin you inwardly, and it will ruin your insight. You can't even see who's really trying to serve the Lord. You know what you'll find out? You'll be so focused on the outside, you'll think, well, they look the part, and they look this, and they look that, and they must be really serving the Lord. Well, some of these other people, they may not have the looks down, but guess what? They got on the inside down. They're trying to serve the Lord. They just love the Lord. They may not know everything they ought to know, but at least they love the Lord. A lot of people, y'all, that's why you have to, you know, I tried to tell you to be careful. I know a lot of these people who, they teach some things they ought not teach, but their heart's right. Why, when you show them something, they say, hey, man, I never saw that. Let me check. Let me straighten this thing out, and I start teaching it the other way. There are people out there who want the truth. They just hadn't got maybe the means to be able to get it, and some people hadn't had good people teach them and things. They've been taught wrong, and they're just doing the best they can. You know what this lady does? She just come in, she's just doing the best she can. And see, that shows you why you got that old devil pope here. He is, and he tries to counterfeit the Lord. He wants people kissing his feet. When the Lord has his, well, the Lord's feet is the only feet we need to be kissing. And you know what the Lord, how the Lord does? Watch our Lord right here. Watch him. Verse 40. And Jesus answering, said unto him, Simon, that's Judas's daddy, you know, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. Master, see, Judas called him Master. Simon, he got that from his daddy, you know. You see, it's one thing to call him Master. He's more than Master, he's Lord. He's the Lord. All right, it says this. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him the most. Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto them, thou hast rightly judged. See there? Now you know what you'll find out? The Lord has to rebuke Phariseeism. He has to rebuke that thing. He goes in, you know what? We can take heart. We don't have to be soon troubled. Why? The Lord will rebuke the Phariseeism, and we don't have to be troubled by these things. While we got His Word, and we got the Word of God, where we can go in here and find out how not to be like that. And man, we don't have to let them trouble us. Why? The Lord take care of them. He took care of Simon, didn't he? He took care of all those other Sadducees and Pharisees. And you see that outer voice, the Lord will take care of it for you. Now, let's look at this last thing here. Not only spirits and scorners, but false scriptures. He said by letter. So you got a written voice that can trouble you. Now, there are false scriptures today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:17, you don't have to turn there, but we're going to be in Psalms 12. For we are not as many, not a few, he says many, which corrupt the Word of God. There are many out there who corrupt God's Word. You know what they've been doing it then? They was doing it in Paul's time. They're doing it now. Why? Sinaiticus and Vaticanus manuscripts and Alexandrinus, those manuscripts from which the new Bibles come from. Back then, yeah, Paul knew they'd been written back then. They said, well, they're the oldest and best. No, they're oldest and corruptest. and man, they're corrupt. And you know why they're so good looking? I've got this Bible right here, man. You see how it's getting worn and the pages are getting worn. I'm using it a lot. Well, Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, they were junky, and you know what happened? They got kept in good shape, and they looked so good because, number one, they had vellum. They were on vellum. And somebody said those things are junk, and they just set them up there, kind of like these new perversions I've got in my office. They look pretty good. Well, I don't ever read them. I just got them for reference material. Somebody may have had that thing in there just kind of like we do, books. I had them for reference material. And they found the thing, Tischendorf found them, Sinaiticus, in a wastebasket. That shows you how good that manuscript was. It was right where it needed to be. It should have stayed in there and been burnt. But anyway, they corrupted the Word of God. Now, I want to show you something here. What we have is the preserved Word of God. Look at Psalms 12. And I'll just show you some of these little things here about corruption. And see, you don't have to be troubled by a letter. Why? You have the preserved letter. You got the preserved Word of God. And I'd like for you to know this. The Bible says in the King James, Psalms 12, verse 6, the words. Now, what's context we're talking about here? Words. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Man, I don't want to get into that, brother. That's a good study. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them. What? The words. Mm-hmm. It says, from this generation forever. The words are what's being spoken of. Now, I got a devil's Bible right here. And it's devil's Bible, ain't it, Shiloh? It's a NIV. Now, this is what this Bible says. Now, you know what? International, everybody, including Catholic, you know, everybody, Catholicism, that's what that thing is. Catholics, all right, so it's trying to include everybody. That's why they're changed. They got to get everybody under one thing. Now, it says this. The context is this in verse 6. And the words of the Lord are flawless. I hate that. All right, I hate that changing. All right, but the context is the words. Now watch it swap in this perverted Bible. It says, verse 7, O Lord, you will keep us safe and protect us from such people forever. You know what that Bible just did, or that book just did? It took the preservation of the Word of God out. You know what? That would trouble me. He says, you don't be troubled by a letter. Don't be troubled by that. Why? You've got the book. Don't be troubled by the fact that people are today teaching that you can't have God's Word in English. Don't be troubled by that. Why? Because he's telling you, look, you can find it right quick. All you got to do is see. Look at the context here. That don't make any sense. Now, I realize that some people, there's a lot of people out there that just read on Sundays. I realize that, and they just go by what the pastor said. But if somebody is honestly reading the context of that book, and they come through there, and they say, okay, the words. Now, words, you'll keep us safe. What are you talking about? People forever. Well, these people died. I thought you said he's going to protect us forever. They died off. I mean, so he didn't keep his promise? We don't have to be worried about that. See, that's a devil's Bible right there. And if y'all wanted to look at that thing, and see, you don't have to be, you know, concerned, and you don't have to let those things trouble you, that written voice. Why? I've got the voice of the Lord right here. I've got His book right here. I'll give you some things here that I looked at, I thought was pretty interesting. They say, well, the new versions are so much easier to understand. Let me give you a few things here. Which one is easier? The NASB says deportation. The King James says carried away. All right. This is a good one here. Matthew 2. It says, in Matthew 2, it calls them magi. All right. And King James says wise men. Which one's easier? See, that's easier than me. All right. In Matthew 2:16, it says environs. And King James says coast. Coast is easier. See, they don't tell you these things. All right. This is so crazy. Luke 11:33, the new version says peck measure. The King James says bushel. bushel is easier. See that thing? Why? Because you'll notice those perversions of the Scripture mess your mind up. They really do. They're perverted. The New Version say annuals, A-N-N-U-L-S. In Matthew 5:19, the King James says break. Another I like this right here. Luke 5:29 says he reclined at the table. King James just said he sat. Now see, you got a difference. You got a difference there. There's so many of them. But like Matthew 9:17, wineskins in the New Versions, bottles in the King James. Bottles is easier to understand. It's just easier to understand. Why, you can all I got to do is cross-reference right back over the Psalms if I want to and find out it can be a wineskin. It can be a skin. There's no hard thing. You get the King James has cross-referencing system. It's for a reason. It's called bottles for a reason. You got this thing here, Matthew 9:20. It says fringe. In the King James, it says hem. You got this thing here, Matthew 10:1. It says summoned. And then King James says called. Now look, there's a difference between some being summoned, and something being called. Mm-hmm. Called on the Lord. Called on the name of the Lord. See, summoned. It's okay to summon while it's in the Bible. No, it's not okay. Don't summon anything. And so you summon the devil. See that thing? It's constantly getting you to get your mind off of kilter and get you into false doctrine. I've got so many of these things I literally could not go through even a third of them. But what I'm trying to say is we don't have to be troubled. Now here's something that'll trouble you. I'll go over about six verses with you when we close. I want to show you something here. You're going to have to go over several verses, but I got to show you this. Look at Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus 20. And what you'll find out is there are things that'll trouble people if they don't go by the Bible, and these new perversions are messing people up. Now, you know what you'll find out? Anybody who's not going by the Bible is going by a false spirit, because these are spirit words coming off the pages. Now, what we can do is look through the Bible and watch somebody get how they get messed up and try not to get messed up ourselves. Now, Leviticus 20, look at verse 6. Pay attention to these words. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a whoring after them. That's spiritual fornication too. I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. All right, now that's what that Bible said. Now let me show you something else. Look at verse 27 while we're in this neighborhood. A man also or a woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stone. Their blood shall be upon them. Hath. So you can have these spirits like that lady in Acts 16:16 had that spirit of divination. All right. So what you'll see is he said, I'll cut them off. Now watch this thing right here. Cut off. Look in Malachi. We'll jump around a little bit here. Look at Malachi chapter 2. He says, I'll cut them off. Now, you know what? We know that we've got eternal security in the church age, but you know what? Your fellowship can be cut off. How can two walk together except to be agreed? If you're not agreed with the Lord, you know what he can do? He can stop his fellowship with you, and you know what happened? Your prayers, you won't feel like praying. You come to that Bible, and that Bible will seem like a dead book. Why? He's not fellowshipping with you until you get right with him. Now, that thing said he cut them off. Now, these priests in Malachi chapter 2 are having people turn away from the law in verse 6, which is his word. And they're causing people to stumble in verse 8 at the law because they're not teaching it right. So guess what happens to them? See, it's got something to do with the word. Verse 12 says, the Lord will cut off. Remember that thing? They're messing around with familiar spirits. If you're messing around with God's word, and these people nowadays who are trying to trouble people mess around with God's word and say, well, you can't understand it. You got to learn Hebrew, and you got to learn the Greek and all these things. Guess what happens? The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, messes with his word, the master and the scholar out of the tabernacles of Jacob. So guess what happens there? the scholars. You know where your trouble is today? Most of the trouble is with scholarship today. So-called Christian scholarship is what's messing up the body of Christ today. Why? Because they get them off on false doctrine. And you know what they do? If the devil can't have your soul, he'll try to keep you a spiritual baby from now on. He'll try to keep you. Why? Well, what's the little baby going to do? What happens is, if he can keep you carnal, or if he can keep you to be a babe in Christ, from now on he'll try to do it. And you know what happens? Whenever you get to where you can't talk to the Lord anymore, and you get your fellowship out of whack with the Lord, you know what happens? Turn to 1 Samuel 15 now. This happens. Saul got to where that he was out of fellowship with the Lord. The Spirit had departed from him in the Old Testament. There you got that Old Testament set up. And in 1 Samuel 15, did I say 23 or 15? All right, 15. Now, guess what happens there? He ends up having to go to a lady that had a familiar spirit. Y'all remember that? All right, why? Because you know what you'll do? If you can't get if you can't get insight, and you can't get knowledge from the Lord, you know what happened? You're going to want some guidance from somewhere. You'll go to a familiar spirit. And what causes that? You say, well, what do you mean? Psychology is one thing. Science is another thing. You try to get your answers from somebody else. And look at the cause. Verse 23, for rebellion, see, he rebelled, is as the sin of witchcraft. Remember that thing? Why he's going to get cut off? Why he's going to these witches, familiar spirits and things. Rebellion and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. See that thing right there? Why? It goes back to the word. So you know what? You'll find out that things that trouble you is rebellion to the word of God, and you'll end up going like Saul to some kind of familiar spirit to try to get your guidance from psychology or science or philosophy, and those things will, you know what they'll do? They'll cut off your fellowship. Now, what happened with Saul? It says this. Now look at 1 Chronicles 10. It'll be our last one together. 1 Chronicles 10. What I'm trying to do is keep you from getting trouble. How you keep from getting troubled is to keep away from the things that do trouble you. And not soon shaking in mind. I want you to have a good sound mind. And you know what? We ought to know what to stay away from. And thank the Lord His Word tells us. 1 Chronicles 10, verse number 13. Watch what Saul died for. Saul died in verse 13. He died a rebel. In his rebellion verse 13. So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word. What? See, you can transgress against the word. Why? It's a living book. Mm-hmm. That thing is alive. Against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit, mm-hmm. to inquire of it. Why? He inquired not of the Lord. So you know what the Lord did? The Lord cut him off. Now you know how to keep yourself in good fellowship and not be troubled and soon shaken in mind is to stay in a constant fellowship with the Lord, constantly praying every day, getting up praying, constantly every day getting up reading that Bible and staying interested in that Bible. And what you'll do is this, test yourself by this, am I still interested in God's Word? Am I as interested in God's Word today as I was yesterday? Is it a blessing for me to find something else in that Word of God? And why? Because if you don't, see, that's your fellowship there in your prayer. And if it's not a blessing to you to still be in a fellowship with God and His Word, man, we got to go back to Bethel and say, Lord, I don't know where I fell off the wagon, so to speak, yet, but Lord, I want to get in good fellowship with you. Keep you from being troubled.